Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know that many of you think of August as being a time of vacation, but we're going back to school this morning. And many of you may remember, because I know some of you are teachers, having studied in school, or you had kids who studied in school, the play Waiting for Godot. And that play, which was written back in about 1952 or so, is considered to be one of the great works of the theater of the absurd. Now, you might be thinking, we're living in the theater of the absurd now, but life has been strange for a long time. And Samuel Beckett was alive at a time when lots of change was taking place. People in Europe didn't know what to do with themselves, having just come out of World War II. They were trying to rebuild their societies. They had just gone through their second major war of the century, and it looked like life was pointless. And so, in the midst of all of this confusion, Beckett needed some money. And so he decided to write a book, which became the play Waiting for Godot. Now, I cannot tell you what Waiting for Godot is about. And the truth is, nobody can. In many ways, it was Seinfeld before Seinfeld showed on TV. It's a play about nothing. And you remember that there are these two guys, Vladimir and Estragon, who are by a tree on the side of the road, and all they do is talk. And another couple of people come along, Lucky and Pazzo, and a boy shows up every once in a while, but that's all that happens. They talk. They wonder about the meaning of life. And Godot never shows up. He's never there. Now, you may have thought, well, gee, I just decided to choose this title for today's sermon because I like to use weak puns. And so I was able to say, Waiting for God. Oh. Well, there is an element of waiting for God in the lesson from Scripture. If we read Luke's story, we hear Jesus is continuing to teach his followers. And through the gospel, the church addressed some of the big questions of the day. And back at the end of the first century, people were wondering, where was Jesus? When was he coming back? They'd been promised the parousia, the return of Christ. And Christ had not shown up. And people didn't know what to do. And then they tried to figure out when he might be coming back. And you're aware that there are people and movements in Christianity that try to calculate based on some kind of secret code in Scripture the date and time and location of Jesus' return. Guess what? We can't do that. There is no secret code. There is no hidden thing for us to figure out. God will come back when God is ready. Now, we Americans don't like to wait. We're big believers in immediate satisfaction. That's one of the reasons Amazon has done so well over the years. We like to buy things now, and then we like it when it shows up. But one of the lessons from today's scripture passage is that we need to wait, and we need to be patient. And we are told that God is not interested in our looking busy. And you may remember I told you about the bumper sticker I've seen that says, Jesus is returning, look busy. It's as if we were able to pull the wool over God's eyes. But if you want to try to look busy for the next X number of years, have at it. But think of what Isaiah told us. And think of what Isaiah told us God did not want. He wasn't looking for empty worship. He wasn't looking for people to play at. He wasn't looking for people to engage in ritual for the sake of ritual. Instead, we are told, according to Scripture, that we should learn to do good. We should seek justice. We should rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. Those seem like obvious, simple things for us to do, but how obvious are they? How much do we dedicate ourselves to caring for the people on the margins, for the people who have been pushed out? We as Christians are called to welcome everyone into the church. Everyone is a child of God. Everyone is loved by God. And everyone needs to be served by God's people, who the church claims to be. Think about that. So let's go back to Vladimir and Estragon, who are sitting by the side of the road, waiting for Godot, waiting patiently, perhaps being frustrated, not knowing what to do. At one point, they decide that they're going to end it all. And I don't remember if it was Vladimir or Estragon who removes his belt and is going to use it as a way to hang himself, but his trousers fall down. And that plan is completely, it's deep six. They decide not to do that. Part of our lives means recognizing that we are going to encounter moments of futility, that we are going to wonder whether we can make a difference. Jesus here, and Isaiah here, is telling us we can make a difference. Think about that. Each and every one of us, as individuals and as a collective, can make a difference. Now, I know that we've gone through a tough couple of years. This is not just FCC Lebanon, it's been the entire country, indeed the entire world. But we're still here. Think about that. We have endured. And I know on a day like today, we may wish that the sanctuary were air conditioned, but it's not. But we're still here. Think about that. God is calling each of us to reach into ourselves, to dig deep, and to give generously of ourselves and our resources. Again, I want to thank the Hammonds for sharing some of the bounty from their garden. That's what being part of a community means. That's what this community has stood for. And I'm sure you don't look at the banner that much when you come in because it's been up over the door for the last couple of years. But that message that we welcome immigrants and refugees is an important one for us to share with the community. And it's one that people have noticed. So think about what kind of person, what kind of life you want to live. If you're wondering when Jesus is going to come back, I don't know. It's that simple. Will Jesus come back? Yes, we've been promised that in Scripture. But we do not know when. And so the task before each of us is to figure out what kind of life we're going to lead until Jesus' return. God doesn't want us to live a certain way because God wants us to follow rules and regulations. God is looking for us to have meaning in our lives, to lead lives that are full and rich. And Scripture points us in the right direction. And yes, we can debate whether Scripture should be followed to the T or it's a culturally shaped document. But the underlying message of God's love is here. And it's one that we are all called to share in. And we'll remember that invitation from God when we celebrate communion in a little while. Remember, Jesus invited the disciples to the table. And at the end of his life, when he could have been thinking about all sorts of other things, he was focused on the welfare of his friends. And that tells us something about God and how God wants us to view life. So I don't know when Godot's going to show up, and I don't know if anybody's written a follow-up to the play. Maybe they have. Maybe it's good. Don't know. But we can continue to wait. But rather than sit and wait and twiddle our thumbs, let's do something useful. Let's be people of whom God will be proud. Let's join together in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Scripture, for the challenging, puzzling passages that it contains, for the gift of the sermon with which you have blessed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.